Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Morning Motivation Broadcast, 15 minutes of hot breakfast for your soul. I am Evangelist Rossi Williams, here with you Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tackling life's everyday issues with biblical perspective, with a new topic, live prayer, and assigning you a different task each day. Our topic for this morning is the raw reality of dealing with grief, even when you believe in God. The raw reality of dealing with grief, even when you believe in God. Our scripture for today comes from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 34 through 44. While you are getting your Bibles ready, let me go ahead and give you our announcements. Number one, set your alarms to tune in live with me Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern by calling in at 323-870-4180. That's 323-870-4180. Save that number in your phones now. But if for any reason you miss this hot breakfast live, you can always hear the recording or your plate on the stove on my website after 8 a.m. Eastern at feeldfire.com. That's F-E-E-L, feel, letter D, not T-H-E, but letter D, fire.com, or follow me on Facebook to hear it after 8 a.m., and that's at Rossi Williams. R-A-W-S-I Williams. Secondly and finally, do not forget to order my new book, Smash the Glass Ceiling of Blessings. God is not the holdup to you receiving your blessings on a sustained basis and living above the clouds. I teach you how to do so in that book. So please go to the store page on feeldfire.com and order your powerful copy today. Well, by now, you should have your Bibles ready. Let's go into the Word. I'm in the book of John, chapter 11, verses 34 through 44. I'm reading from the KJV. And said, "Where have you laid him?" That was Jesus asking that question. They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man open the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou always hearest me, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. What is our topic for today? Come on and say it with me wherever you are right now. The raw reality of dealing with grief, even when you believe in God. If God is so good, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? If God answers prayer, why didn't he fulfill my request? If God is really a healer, why did he let my loved one die of cancer or diabetes or a stroke or a heart attack? Why didn't he save my loved one? Why didn't God intervene in that house fire or that car accident? And does it mean that if I don't really, does it mean that I really don't believe in God if I question him? Does that mean that I am a doubting Thomas? These are just some of the questions we deal with when we lose someone or something important to us. Where were you, God? Hallelujah. Why didn't you intervene? These are the questions that are pounding in our hearts, even if we never say them out loud. And frequently, the situation is made worse by well-meaning people who demean you undergoing this natural process of grief and healing to an equivalency with you being a bad Christian. But I have liberating news for all of you listening to me today. Even Jesus wept. Yes, our Savior, the Son of God, I am that I am, Alpha and Omega, he which is to come, the living word made flesh, even he wept when Lazarus died, despite knowing he would turn right around in that very moment and raise him from the dead. His example shows us that it is not only acceptable, but necessary to grieve, to release, to experience the pain, anger, and recovery of that healing process. Because the fact that you know that they're going to a better place doesn't moot the pain you feel right now of losing them from this present place in life. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 tells us that there is no temptation or situation which will come upon our lives in which the Lord has not already gone through it to show us or be that example of how we should go through it or made a way of escape. Genesis 3 and 19 tells us that we were formed from the dust and that to dust we shall return. But the truth of that is that none of that makes grieving easier. So I'm going to do something I don't usually do within the broadcast and still stay within my 15 minutes. I'm not only going to speak with you being an evangelist, because evangelism is to call upon my life, but also from the purpose of my life, meaning my profession, 20 years as a registered nurse, and the fact that I am an attorney today, and part of my practice deals with probate issues and powers of attorney. So just stay with me here as we talk about this. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who is a legendary psychiatrist, she is deceased now, but she is one of the well-known founders of studying death and dying and the grieving process, and accredited by many with the starting the foundation of hospice, and part of my nursing career included hospice nursing, laid out the five stages of grief. They are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I want to say to you today, not only as a nurse, but also as an evangelist, a Christian, and an attorney, it is crucial for you to allow yourself the freedom to go through those five stages. Now, understand that the length of time that you will be in each stage, or the total amount of time it will take you to totally progress through all of the stages in a cumulative manner, it varies per person. You know, the amount of time it may take you to go through all of these stages for the loss of a friend whom you have not seen or communicated with in 20 years would definitely be different from a friend who's your best friend, your ride or die, your ace boom coom, your homie, you know, whatever. Or definitely even that will be different from your parent, and that would be different from experiencing the loss of a child. and understand that sometimes the loss in and of itself is not always even natural death. Sometimes the loss of a parent is when you've lost them to the late stages of Alzheimer's and they no longer can recall who you are. And you're having to deal with losing them while they're yet alive. Or the loss of a child could be their incarceration. They're still alive, but the bond and the ability to be there with them every day is something you no longer have. I mean, this is some good teaching here today. So I need to liberate you that it is acceptable not only unto me, to you, to everyone else, and to healthcare, but to God, as we saw with Jesus weeping, for you to allow yourself to go through the process, the natural process of grief. In that first stage of denial, you will be saying, no, this didn't happen. Why him? Why her? Why did you take him or her, God? I mean, these are the natural questions. The Lord understands that you're not trying to be disrespectful, irreverent, or blasphemous. He understands that process because he saw his son weeping, even though his son had the ultimate authority to bring Lazarus back to life. The next stage is anger. Well, God, why did you take him or her? Why did you allow this to happen to them in this manner or in this way? This person was such a good person. There are people out there who are murdering folks, raping folks, but you didn't take them, but you let this person live. See, God understands that you're going through this process. And then that bargaining, right? Sometimes the person has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Lord, if you'll let me live, I'll serve you. Lord, if you won't take her or him, I'll dedicate the rest of my life to you. And then there's the depression. Remember, sometimes this is situational depression, which is you're dealing with the situation, or other times it may actually deteriorate into a clinical depression where you need counseling, medications. Listen, there is no shame. Let me tell you this. I don't have but 15 minutes. There's no shame in you reaching out for help. If it's overwhelming, if it's too much for you to bear, that does not mean that you don't believe in God, that you've lost faith in God, that you're not a good Christian or minister or a first lady, a deacon, or elder, a prophetess, or usher. No, the devil is a lie. It means that you understand that God has placed others here to be helpers one to another. And to be able to bear your burdens when you are weak. If you need help, please get help. And then finally, acceptance. But remember, all of this will progress for you differently. Do not compare yourself to someone else going through the stages. Don't allow people to tell you how long it should take. But if you see it gets to the point where you know you cannot function in your everyday life, you can't be a proper mother or father, or you can't go to work, you know, you can't do anything, then that's when you know you need to reach out for some further help to assist you in going through this process, okay? Now, we have to get ready to go into prayer. If you'll bear with me and give me an extra 1 or 2 minutes, I'd surely appreciate it. I just want to tell you what happened to me. I have a friend who is also a registered nurse. She and I worked in hospice together, and we talked almost daily. Well, then I moved from where we were living, and I moved to Miami where I reside now, and we would still talk almost daily. Well, then for some reason, I was calling her, and she wasn't answering my calls. And so finally, she revealed to me that she had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I was devastated. How could this have happened and you could not have told me? So immediately I said, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to come this weekend. I went up there. We visited. We had lunch. I went to church with her and everything. We prayed. She went to the Mayo Clinic and then Cancer Center Treatment of America, and she was doing better. And so we were laughing, and then I would call her and she would say, well, sometimes it might take me a few weeks to call you back, you know, because I'm just recovering and I'm tired. So I accepted that answer. Then I started calling her. I didn't get any calls back, and I was trying to reach out, but the message, you know, I was still able to leave messages and I was texting. And then I tried to reach out to a sister. I only knew one sister because I met this friend as an adult, and I couldn't reach out. And finally one day I said, I need to know where she is. This is bothering me. This is not like me, like her. I Googled her name and I saw her obituary. She had died. And I cried like a baby because I wasn't able to be there. And I am still going through these stages, and it's been over a year since I found out. I think right now I'm just getting into acceptance. Now, my mother, on the other hand, was diagnosed with cancer. And when I found out, I was in denial and anger. And then I got into bargaining. Please don't take her, Lord. I am her namesake. My mother's name is Rossi, and I'm Rossi. But God healed her, and I thank him so much. But I'm saying to you, even as an evangelist, as a nurse, as an attorney, I deal with these things all the time. But none of that could remove the fact that I need to be able to grieve. That's what I want for you today. Our time is one. Please bow your heads. Let's go into prayer. Dear Father, we come today in the name of Jesus. We praise you because you are such a right now, relevant, on time, loving God who said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that your word is profitable for every situation. There will not be anything that comes upon us, including loss, that your word does not have application for. You taught us in Ecclesiastes that there is a time and a place for everything. There is a time to be joyful, but there is also a time to grieve. Father, today I come praying with those who are grieving the loss of someone whom they have loved, whether that loss has transcended over into natural death or whether that loss is the incarceration, whatever the loss is, Father, I come encouraging them today, hallelujah, that it is acceptable unto you for them to grieve. It is acceptable for them to have denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and that does not demean nor diminish who they are, nor their faith in you. Father, we know in your word in Revelation 21:4, you told us there's going to come a day that you will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying, and no more pain. The former things will have passed away. Father, we know today that you taught us in your word in 1 Corinthians 13:12 that we only see through a glass darkly, which means that we don't understand everything, all things. We won't have the answer to every question. But then when we meet you face to face, you'll be able to explain and answer for us why it had to be this way. But our consolation, our assurance, our victory, our peace, our release, our acceptance, it is in knowing God, that you made no mistake. No matter how they passed away, when they passed away, the methodology, we know, God, that you have them now in a better place. Help us, Lord, to believe that and to understand that we might not understand it now, but we will definitely understand it better by and by. Wrap your angels around everyone grieving right now. Cover them in the blood. Hold them, rock them, love them, comfort them. Let them know it is okay to cry, to wail, to weep. It is okay to be sad. It is okay and acceptable unto you because even Jesus wept. Now, Lord, I come in agreement with everyone listening to this broadcast now that they will be able to go through the stages of grief, that they will come out on the other side victorious and still celebrating the life of the person whom you allowed them to have for whatever amount of time that you gave them that presence and that person as a present. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I have to give a quick altar call, and then I'm going to give you your task for today. If you are not saved or if you're backslidden, please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name, asking the forgiveness of every sin. I repent now and ask you to be my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated. In Jesus' name, let everyone listening say, amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family. Make sure you're in a good Bible-believing church. Make sure you're tuning in live 6:30 a.m. to Morning Motivation or going to fieldthefire.com after 8 a.m. to get your hot breakfast. Please share this broadcast with someone you know who is grieving the loss of a loved one. Remember, it doesn't have to be death. It could just be the loss to incarceration, illness. It could be the loss due to divorce or separation, whatever it is, that it is acceptable. This is the raw reality of dealing with grief, even when you believe in God. All right. Set your alarms to tune in tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. Follow me on Facebook at Rossi Williams, R-A-W-S-I, and go to fieldthroughfire.com. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. And so is your right to deal with it accordingly. I love you. I'll see you in the morning.